Hello, everybody. I am Nick Boddick. Welcome back to a very special episode of This Weird House. I am here with three gentlemen. I am here with Mr. Brandon Scott, the first returning guest of the show, I might add. Friend of the show at this point. Family at this point, really.
Hey, I'll take it.
I am here with Wes Robinson.
What's up, guys? How are you?
And I am here with James Allen McCune.
Hello.
And these three, you may remember from the 2016 film Blair Witch. They are three of the leading cast members of Blair Witch. And I'm so excited. I was saying before, I'm so nervous right now. So just, again, bear with me.
Yeah. Same. I was honestly stressed about it all morning.
So I guess let's just jump right into it. Were you guys all fans of, and I'll try to figure out, like, I should have said this before, but hey, we're in it now. So I will try to like direct questions to each, you know, each of you. But if one of you just jump in, I'm just going to go ahead. We're into it. were you guys fans of the original Blair Witch before getting into the sequel? And like, how did it come about for you?
I was a massive fan of Blair Witch. I went to the theater. I was pretty young, but I went to the theater and I watched the original. And I, just like everyone else, thought it was real. And then found out it wasn't, felt a little duped, but then was excited by it, about the whole prospect of that happening. And then, you know, when we started auditioning, it wasn't the Blair Witch Project sequel or anything, or Blair Witch, it was something else entirely, and we didn't know what it was.
The woods.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't it the stakes first?
Oh, stakes,
yeah. Like,
yeah,
it was stakes, yeah.
And I had like a, they had a drawing.
But I remember, you know, I think we all had to go. Yeah, we all had to go to Lionsgate to read the script, and I remember the guy that worked at Lionsgate. I don't know if I should say his name or not, but he told us what it was, and or told me what it was in an office, and I was just like so excited and so thrilled. I was like bouncing my legs, and I was like just trying to get out in the parking lot. And the worst part was I couldn't even like tell anybody about it. I could just be like, oh, I'm in this thing, and it's really exciting, and you know, but it was a huge deal for me. It still is, so.
For me, I don't think I had a like special interest in it when I was younger. I remember when it was in theaters, I didn't go see it. I wasn't old enough yet. My sister was the one who was a big fan of it. And I remember being, this is the thing I always say, I guess, in interviews, but I remember being very, very scared of it because the leading character in the Blair Witch Project, Heather, although I guess she's changed her name now. I can't remember what it is at the moment, but she reminded me so much of my actual sister that I was staunchly opposed to being anywhere near that movie as a kid. And I was not really interested in horror stuff until after we filmed Blair Witch. Like, I got ragged so hard on that set from the crew for not knowing anything about horror movies. So afterwards, I got a vehement special interest in horror, but it took me a lot. I am not a brave person. So it took me a long time to do it before I was finally like a fan, but I tangentially knew of Blair Witch, but it was certainly not on my radar intentionally, because it freaked me out so much. But I remember very vividly being involved with it at the beginning and feeling like way in over my head because of that. Because I just had like, especially when I met y'all at Lionsgate, and because we couldn't take the script home. They were red page, scripts that can't be copied, and we weren't allowed to have them outside of the studio. So we all had to kind of go into locked rooms and thumb through it, and I just remember seeing everybody in passing and being like, oh my god. The whole way through. Yeah. What about you, B?
All those red pages. Mm-hmm. I forgot about those red pages. Anyway,
yeah, I was gonna ask like what the like keeping that secret, like how long did you have to sit on the fact that it was a Blair Witch movie?
It's like a year and a half
for a long time. Yeah.
Oh man,
a lot of the
like, probably until the actual reveal, right? Mm-hmm. I imagine.
Yeah
because they pulled a big
I don't know if you guys knew what was going to happen at Comic-Con, but I didn't know they were going to do that. I mean, I knew people would not understand what they were watching, but they did this whole thing where they changed out all the posters and they, you know, took down everything that said The Woods and during the movie, and then put everything up that said Blair Witch, so that when you left the screening, there was Blair Witch stuff everywhere, but when you went in, there was wood stuff. So I had no idea until we left the screening at Comic-Con that it was going to be, you know, that that was going to be such a cool thing that they were going to do. Did you know, Jamie, that they were going to do that?
I knew they were going to be pulling a stunt. I didn't realize it was going to be like every poster was going to be changed out in the middle of us watching the movie. Like the whole atmosphere of the room changed when we exited. It was like being at a theme park. That was one of the, that was so cool. I was honestly, I would have done the whole thing for free just for that showing of it. And it really kind of like, the best part of that whole thing was when the words Blair Witch were finally said in the actual movie, like the audience, like I remember when they were muttering, people were muttering the whole time. Cause they were like, oh, this feels similar and stuff. I sometimes wonder what the universe, the multiverse version of us if we kept the woods, like if that had gone out instead of pulling a bait and switch, like I wonder if that would have changed the way people responded to it looking back. That showing was so interesting because people had the realization in the middle of the movie. I kind of feel like that might've been more effective sometimes, but I'm not sure.
Same. There was a whole, like, you know, when the movie starts, there's that title card with the, you know, on this date or whatever in the black and white text. And as soon as that popped up, you heard an audible, like, kind of like muttering what he said. And so it was just really cool to see, to experience that, you know, to have no one realize what they're getting ready to watch. And honestly, with that, and then like for, I think it was Midnight Madness at TIFF, it was the Toronto Film Festival. It was like, it was very similar. It was a very kind of surprising that people weren't as on board with it as we thought they would be based on those two screenings. It was, you know, it was eye opening for sure.
Oh, because at TIFF, it was already out that it was Blair Witch. Is that because I didn't go to TIFF?
I think it was honestly also just the reaction that we got there. I mean, you know, it was like,
I think
I looked at James. I think we made a fucking fun movie that people are going to love, you know, so it was just like, surprising, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the audience was blasted at TIFF, so they were just like screaming the whole way through. It was such a riot. I remember especially the last act of the movie when we're in the house and James is just making poor decision after poor decision, like they're just screaming at all of the like turns down the hallways and stuff. It was so those two were so much fun for very separate reasons. Those two screenings. I wish every audience got to experience that kind of scenario, the way that those went. That was such a good time.
Man, I remember as a fan, like I had no connection to the movies whatsoever besides just being a fan of the original Blair Witch. But I remember, because I went through like probably 3 or 4 years where I was seeing every single horror movie. I was following all the horror movie news, everything, every little bit. So this, I had seen the trailer for this movie, Sticks, at another movie, The Woods. And I remember when I saw the article that, I think it was probably after the Comic-Con reveal that Sticks is actually Blair Witch, a sequel to the 1999. And I remember I went over to my now fiance, she's sitting right there. I was like, oh my God, like you're never gonna believe this. Like, we are going to this movie opening day. I will hear no contest to it. We are doing it. I was so excited, dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, dude, that was so filming. You've all been in a wide range of projects between the three of you. How is filming a found footage movie different from a more traditional style of filming, I guess? Like, is there more improvisation, is there more improvisation? Like, how much input do you have into what the characters do when everything is supposed to seem as natural as possible?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I mean, like, what was interesting is, number one, there were times I know James and I had to actually film, you know, which is different. Like, we had a head rig where with a massive camera on it. So that was just different. Just us having to have that POV, to get that POV perspective, having to don the suit, this massive suit, to actually shoot it. But in terms of just the genre in general, I'd say, I think all of us found moments to kind of like just throw stuff in there that felt natural, because kind of like that, because it is supposed to feel somewhat very realistic. But then also you had this other thing of where I think Adam and Simon, I mean, Simon wrote the script, but Adam was very particular about getting like the shot or getting it a certain way. So there were some takes. I think what was our one take? We did like 70 something times. And so 75. Yeah. So, so I feel like there's some degree of play, but then at a certain point, it's kind of like, wait, we're trying to go after something specific with the rhythm of like where the camera is and everything. So then I felt like then it kind of would sometimes devolve into, no, we got to hit these beats at the right time. So I'd say it was a balance of, you know, a play and improving, but then at times being very like technical to some degree. But I don't know, what was y'all's experience?
Yeah, I feel like every time you're like shooting a traditional, you know, movie, it's, I don't know, for this one, it's for a found footage film. It's like, it was almost like choreography in a way of, you know, you have someone in a suit with a steady cam or something equivalent to it. And, you know, you're delivering all your stuff to an actor behind them. And it's like, you're trying to make sure that your eye line is right. And also at other times when you're looking into the lens, it's like very distracting because you're seeing yourself in the reflection. So then you're like, you know, almost judging your own choices that you're making as an actor when you're doing that. But it was definitely like, I will say two things. I really enjoyed the process of making a found footage movie, but I also enjoyed making a traditional, you know, style filmmaking again afterwards. So
like, yeah, it was a big relief to me too, going into traditional filmmaking after that. It was like, oh, this, everyone else is doing the jobs that I was responsible for in that last thing.
Yeah, but we did have a lot of fun with the improv and stuff. I know, I feel like a lot of Lane and Peter's, you know, argument in the scene where we're kind of found out to be not what we're supposed to be, it was a lot of improv, I feel like. And I think Adam just really liked it and just kept saying, just keep doing it, keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
He has this, you know, laugh that you can hear, you know, from wherever we were to Video Village where he was. And like, you know, we just kept kind of milking that a little bit. So I don't know. It was fun. We, you know, improv is always fun. And then like to try something new was really fun. And, but I definitely like going back to regular film style.
Yeah, I'm real grateful for the found footage style, despite it being kind of a challenge. Like I've never experienced anything like Blair Witch before or since. It was such a unique thing, and it was really cool. I think, I don't know, I look back on myself very differently now, and I see somebody who didn't really have like a good perspective on filmmaking back then. I don't think I fully understand. I didn't understand the mechanics of every single thing we were doing, and I think that also was very hard to do with the way that we were shooting it. But I think about how we were all kind of hired, I think, back then because of the style being found footage. We're all, I think, we're naturalistic actors, like as a instinct, and it's a very different skill than doing more theatrical ideas of acting. And I think it just came it was very interesting to watch everybody else kind of give very honest takes on things, but then sometimes that not necessarily working because the story wasn't being told, or like needing to rethink the way the character might approach something in order to relate to like the context of something we haven't even shot yet. Or like the style really required us to be very honest and real, but it needed to be very technical because we were all also responsible for the perspectives of shooting it. So this actually was really formative for me because I became a producer and a cameraman since then. And I really think that, especially the last act of the movie, like the last 30 minutes of the movie, all of my stuff I was shooting myself. And that really ended up teaching me a whole lot about how to do this. So I'm grateful for it, but it is a huge challenge in comparison to doing more traditional styles of performance and filmmaking. You have a lot of like stuff to consider, and Adam had to have been like editing it in his head while we were shooting it, and that must have been like doing calculus while riding a unicycle. It's insane.
Yeah, I can't imagine how difficult it was to edit this movie. Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, like you've got like traditional, you know, you're kind of get married to your, like, your movements, you know, when you're doing a scene, you could like switch up your delivery or whatever, but you kind of know what you're doing at which point to make the editor's life not hell. And like,
yeah,
for this, it's like, we just tried so many different things and there's so many different angles. And, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It was hard to know what would,
I feel like,
work. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. You're good. People want to hear from you, not me. So please interrupt me at any point, any of you. So two things. One, do you remember which, like what did you need to do 75 times before your director was happy? Like what was the shot that you guys were trying to get?
Yeah, I remember mine. I don't know if there
was, you remember what?
Did y'all have scenes that, I remember the scene that I did that took 75 passes, but did y'all have high numbers?
Which one was, I thought that was the one with all of us. What's the scene that took you 75? I don't remember.
Oh no, we did somewhere between 65 to 75 passes of a different scene after the conflict scene. And it was the intro. It's the one we eventually reshot it in LA, but it was the intro in my apartment. Where I'm just sort of like talking about what we're about to do. It's like right before the sequence when we pull together all of the gear in the garage. And we had to reshoot that. Oh. But we shot it 75 in Vancouver at first. And we had a whole set. They built, there was an apartment complex, or I guess just an apartment that we were shooting in, that we did a whole huge, and it was literally just me saying one line, just like over and over and over. It was a like strange process to be like, maybe they just hate the way that I do this job. It was smart to know that we were actually honing in on something. And I was tremendously bad at my job. It was very interesting though. We had multiple, I think the average was around 20 to 30 passes typically. Right.
That's all right. We did that one scene where we're walking, kind of introing the lore a little bit in the woods quite a few times, where we had to like backtrack on the trail and start over and kept doing
that.
Did
you have that Fitbit?
Huh?
The Fitbit.
I think Brandon did. Somebody did.
Yeah.
And I had a Fitbit.
That's right. We hiked miles every single day, just walking the same trail back and forth and back and forth. That was actually very therapeutic though. It was fun to just to like explore the mountains like that. It was beautiful out there.
Yeah, it was beautiful there. I'd never been, so it was really exciting.
Same.
The one I remember was the one where we're all sitting around the campfire.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's the one I remember us shooting so many times. I don't remember what we're talking about, but I just know we were sitting around a campfire. I think it's the first night there. And maybe it was because it was also late and cold when we were shooting it. Maybe we only shot it 20 times, but in my mind, that was the one. It was like, it's so fucking cold.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that was bad because we had the smoke coming off of the fire that was like immediately blowing into our faces. And I had the stress of doing this movie had kicked my body into like a weird nervous system imbalance that I had to, remember I had the eye issue and stuff while we were out there.
And
the smoke kept getting, the stress just kept like, I had apparently a really rare condition that popped up in the middle of shooting this. And I believe it's from a lot of stress, but I was donating platelets on a regular basis the year before. So I have a feeling that might be the reason why my body was freaking out. But I just remember sitting around that fire and the smoke getting in my eyes and being like, I have to go to the doctor. Like, this is really stressful.
Continuity seems like it would be a nightmare for a found footage movie set in the woods. Like, props to your editor. That's.
I will say there's one thing that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, for the scripty. Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Props to them.
I think there was like one time where we were doing the path so much that we had like flattened it and it started to look really bad. So I think that was the one of the very few things that's actually CGI in the movie. From my understanding, it's like just a path, which everyone thinks there's like CGI, you know, there's a CGI witch and there's all these things, you know, that there's not, but like,
it is not a witch. Yeah.
No.
That sometimes I'll pop onto the Blair Witch subreddit and everybody, and I'll just correct people and just walk away. There's so many. Oh, Kyle didn't listen to Wes.
I'm glad you do that, because I want to do that. I just refrain, but I'm glad you do that.
No chill. I have no tact whatsoever.
I'm in the camp. I realized, I and I'm not bragging or anything, but I knew it wasn't the actual witch right from the jump. So yeah, you're among friends here.
I wouldn't have a comment.
But Brandon, I gotta say, man, you committed my biggest found footage pet peeve in Blair Witch, which is in every single found footage horror movie, at one point or another, there's always, in every single one, this isn't hyperbole, every single one, a character will say, "Get that camera out of my face," and you were the culprit for Blair Witch. That was you. You have that honor.
Like, he also didn't say, I always wanted to say, "I'll be right back" in a movie, and I think he got to say that. Did you not say that?
Probably. I'll be right back.
In the tent, I was like, "That bastard, he gets to say, I'll be right back."
You were so close. Oh, man. So what kind of, like... So sorry, I jump around a lot on here, going back to stuff we talked about earlier. When you did find out that this was in fact a Blair Witch movie, what was there, like, a, did you feel any kind of pressure for, like, you were going to be doing a continuation of this beloved movie? Like, what was there, any kind of stress related to that?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I still feel pressure about it.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it anymore. No, I definitely did, because I mean, I was a big fan of it, and you know, I'm a big fan of horror in general, and like, I really wanted to do something that the fans would like. And I, you know, I for one am very proud of it. I think I really love our film, especially like the last 45 minutes or so, I think are just so fun. And like, I think Adam had a hard like spot to be in, because you can't mimic what was done before. It's not gonna work. And like, instead he kind of had this like roller coaster approach, like this, you know, big massive approach at this, that to me was a different take. And so people are like, "Oh, you're missing what was special about the original." But yes and no. Like, yes, the original was very different, but like, we were trying to do something different while bringing the aspects of it back and like making it relevant to a different audience. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely think there was no disrespect involved in to the original in any way. And like, I, for one, was a huge fan. So I felt that pressure. I did. And I really wanted to like do well in the found footage aspect of it too, because I think it's different, because it's like when you're acting, you're trying to, you know, obviously make things seem like they're happening for the first time. And it's strange because you're acting in like a film like this, and you're like, you're doing that, but you're also doing that as in like, almost there's like another layer to it, like a real life layer to it. And it's, I don't know. So yeah, it was daunting for sure.
And James, I actually wanted to ask you in particular, kind of your perspective on that, because you were the only character that had a connection to one of the original characters of the film. So I guess, yeah, I'm just kind of curious on your perspective of being kind of the one thread that connects the two, aside from obviously the greater story.
Right. No, thank you for asking that. Now, I definitely felt pressure. I like I said, I was a mess to the point that it affected me physically. So I was really struggling with this one. I think overdoing a lot of stuff too. Like I was watching the original movie before bed. So I was like not sleeping great either while we were shooting it, because I was just like really hyper fixated on it. But it was really more stressful after we shot it, because I think I had finally gotten, like, I remember we got back and I finally got the time to like really deep dive into the lore. And I got all of the written material associated with Blair Witch. And the crazier thing to me, This is a wild story, actually. I got the book about Rustin Parr. It's pretty interesting. There's the books are very interesting, I think, considering they're just like companion pieces to the, you know, usually stuff like that tends to be pretty schlocky, but I was pretty impressed. But the Rustin Parr book, I was going through it, and I look at the picture of Rustin Parr inside of the book, which is like, you know, halfway through at a certain point, and I realize that I know the guy that they photographed for Rustin Parr. His name is Lou Temple. and I met him while I was doing The Walking Dead. And the crazy thing is, I texted him. I sent him a picture. I was like, "You're in the universe that I'm associated with. We technically have worked together at this, and again, at this point." And he was like, "The strange thing is I'm working with Callie right now on a movie called The Endless." And so he was actually on set with Callie as I was texting him about seeing his picture in that Blair Witch book. So that was kind of a cool synchronicity. But I felt an unbelievable amount of pressure while I was doing research after the fact, because I'd realized how little I had kind of understood as James, like as the character. I remember, and ultimately that wasn't going to play on camera anyway. But I think just afterwards I was just like, I'm a terrible actor. I didn't know these things. But like, you know, there's a Heather Donahue's journal book that's really, really great. And it's very telling about what kind of a person she could have been. And so and it's definitely something that James would have read. So I remember after the fact really deep diving into this stuff and being very worried that I maybe didn't know enough while we were shooting. I definitely felt a weight of this. And I remember afterwards just sort of like seeing the discourse about comparing it to the former movie. And again, it's, you can't repeat that. You can't repeat what happened in the first Blair Witch. It was literally society was changing underneath mm-hmm. the fabric of all of us. Like the internet was in a place that it's never going to be in again, you know, when the first movie came out. It's a marvelously interesting moment in time when you really look at it. But, and it would have been different if the original movie came out 3 months earlier or later, the year that it came out. So it's like, we couldn't have made a splash like that, but it was still, there was still like something really, really exciting about it. I think that it was more exciting than it was scary. But yeah, it's very daunting being a part of something that's got a built-in audiences, especially horror fans, audiences. They tend to be not just honest, but like, you know, vindictive.
100%.
Yeah.
Like it's, I mean, it goes like Star Wars, comic books, and horror fans are the three worst like fandoms. I belong to all of them, so it's not me like talking out of school here. Like, but there's so much like toxicity, and like, yeah. I swear people go into things wanting to dislike them.
Mm. Like, but it comes from a place of like deep
and like that's true, and that's like, it's the double-edged sword of being passionate about any given thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just saw, like, just this morning I saw, this is unrelated to horror, but like, it's a perfect example of this. The new Deadpool movie that's coming out, Deadpool and Wolverine, they released like a couple still photos, and it has Wolverine in the classic comic book yellow uniform.
Oh yeah.
And so like, it looks incredible. And there's another shot. It's a Savage Wolverine. And in the comic, Savage Wolverine doesn't have sleeves, but he has these like shoulder guard things. Someone tweeted a picture of the Hugh Jackman without the sleeves. And it's like, they took off the shoulder guards. The whole costume's ruined. This shit is going to suck. I'm like, we've been begging for this uniform but literally since the 2000s, like, just like, and you're nitpicking it to death. And like, like horror, like you said, can be particularly vindictive because so many of these franchises are, you know, decades old at this point, and people have formed such like close attachments to them that no matter what happens, they're going to be unhappy. And I've never been like that. I'm always the type, like, if I like a movie, like, I love the Fast and the Furious movies. I know they're horrible, but I love them. And like, I want as many of them as possible, because when I get something that I like, I want as much of it as I can get. And like, I was very happy to find out there was going to be another Blair Witch movie. And like, man, horror fans are a different breed for sure.
Yeah, I think it's always hard coming to anything with a built-in audience, and genres are always going to have one at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But what I like about what Simon and Adam do is that roller coaster thing. Like, you can see it in the Godzilla movies they've been making. Like, they really, and it's, of course, it's not the like artistic gravity of what Godzilla means, you know, when it's made in Japan and like in the past and stuff, like that's really important. Clearly they're like paying a lot of homage to it, but they're like really just having the most amount of fun that is conceptually possible when they make movies. And you can see it every time they do something. They're kind of, they're two very intelligent kids with toys, just kind of like knowing very strategically what would be fun to watch. But it's hard when it comes to Blair Witch because it was a unique thing. It was a genre like setting thing. I can't fathom what else they could have done to like appease the masses. I don't know if any approach would have been received well. Yeah. Because it's found footage has been done, has been improved on since Blair Witch by other films. So that like they really just had, I think they came up with a really fantastic mechanic with the camera on the ear situation that was going on. I think that was wise. And it really sold the rest of the concept in the direction they made it. And ultimately, like I encourage anybody who is critical of it to try making their own version because like there's it's hard. It's very difficult. And I think there was a lot of really fun stuff that they did. But I've been really having a fun time watching Adam and Simon's more recent work and being like, okay, what they've always done. They always have the most maximum amount of fun that is possible at all times. And it's difficult when you have serious properties like Blair Witch.
For sure.
It's interesting too, because like, you know, people that are critical on our film is like, they say what they say, and it's like, just because you're doing a film and you're like part of it and you're an actor, and it doesn't mean like you don't care about what you're making, you're not passionate about what you're doing. So it's like, it's not just like, you got six people, they needed to work, they're doing, I mean, yes, we probably all needed to work, but like, it wasn't just that at the end of the day. Like there are people that we cared about what we were doing, we wanted to, please the fans. And so I think the approach of being like, oh, they're just making another one, it's like, it's like seen from the perspective of like that these people aren't passionate about it. They didn't care about it, but that's not the case, So I don't know. It's just frustrating sometimes, but I'm working through it, man.
I'm curious. Did you guys see a lot of the like hubbub around the new one that they're announcing? Like, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that. Like, how they're going to approach it. Cause it, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about too much about how the original crew acknowledged it, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the project down the road. Cause I, at the end of the day, no matter what the studio is doing or what like the gatekeepers, how they're handling, having the legal property or whatever to this, the filmmakers who are going to be making this next chapter of Blair Witch are going to be working their asses off and really caring about it when it happens. Like the people on the ground who are actually making this stuff, I really hope people are more supportive of what comes out, but I'm curious how the masses will respond going forward. It's an interesting tension at the moment,
for sure. So actually, speaking of the original again, did you guys have any contact with anyone who was connected to the original, any input from anyone, any of the actors, from Eduardo Sanchez and Daniel Myrick, I want to say. I don't remember the name of the other director. Just anyone who was connected to the first one, was there any kind of input from them? Did you get any feedback from any of them when it came to your film? I guess during the production of it or after.
Yeah, I talked to Mike semi-often. He loved our film. He's told me that since day one. I think he sent Lionsgate an email that was forwarded to us actually when we were shooting the movie as well. And then I think Heather tweeted something at the time about it being like scare for scare better than the original, which was super nice. I mean, like I said, I was a fan of that. So to have the support of them at, was a big deal. And Mike's always been very kind to me about it. And I wish that we had referenced Mike and Josh in ours. I'm not sure why we didn't, but
we lightly did, I suppose. There's articles. I know, B, aren't you wearing wearing Josh's shirt?
Josh's shirt, yeah.
I have Josh's necklace, I think, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do wish there was more.
I don't think I realized that.
I agree. Yeah, I had a really nice conversation with Heather. I have to figure out, she changed her name. I have to see what her new name is. I hate to dead name anybody. But she... maybe she doesn't want her new name out there actually though. But she and I had a really great conversation and would text every once in a while. She was very candid with me about like her experience on the first one. sounded like a very unique situation. And I remember her telling this story about when the movie came out, the like horror of them using their real name and like, you know, all of the posters and billboards being wanted posters and all that. She had this story about popping a tire or her car breaking down underneath a billboard and not being able to afford to like get her car moved. And I remember after having a conversation with her about this, like not long after that, I popped a tire, ended up being under a billboard, underneath a Blair Witch billboard in Van Nuys. And I'll never forget that feeling. I always think about her. I need to reach out more. I haven't really followed up with her in a few years, but I'm very grateful for her. She did wish us well and had very kind things to say. And I don't know if she's really acting that much these days, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't speak to any of them like directly before, but what was interesting is afterwards, before the movie had come out, I did a film that Josh Leonard was directing, right? But I couldn't say anything. It was an independent film.
Forgot about that.
And I was like, I couldn't say anything about it. Yeah. And I just wish that I would have gotten a chance, because I mean, like, yeah, I was a big fan of the original one, and just that opportunity, this kind of weird synchronistic moment of, hey, I just finished shooting this version where I kind of played like a similar character, I think, to your character, and but I never got a chance to do that. So
that's so cool.
That's crazy.
There was a lot of so weirdness around that movie. There's like a lot of very like interesting synchronistic moments. I have a very fond memory of doing all that and getting to meet and like brush shoulders with everybody from the that time period. It was very interesting. Everybody was so I don't know. I feel like everybody had a lot of appreciation for what was happening. It was a very grateful set.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, because I've heard on, again, especially with a lot of horror movies, remakes, sequels, reboots, whatever, people from the originals, more than any other genre, are not like hesitant to express their criticism, I guess, in that they don't think there should be more of it. They feel that they perfected it. And I can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm not trying to like put anybody down, because like I can kind of see it from that perspective. Like, I don't know, like too much of a good thing or whatever, but yeah, no, it's cool that everyone is supportive. That's awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can think of from when you think back to when you first read the script and then to when you first saw the final cut of the film, anything that changed? Was there, or even throughout the process of filming, was there anything different in the script or that you shot that ended up, anything significant, I guess, that ended up not making it into the final film, or that was changed, you know, halfway through, anything like that?
Yeah. There was more gore in the script.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't there a whole thing with your heart in the script or something?
There's the whole thing at the end of Peter being his arms and legs were cut off, his tongue was cut off, and he falls out of the corner of the attic at a point, out of the darkness, is like his potato body falls.
I forgot the about that.
I remember reading that
potato body.
I'm not okay. Like, it was such a messed up.
Yeah. Image.
I think they were like, this is too, I don't think we can show that on Netflix. But it was I think there were more things like that. There were more like more gore.
Yeah.
Remember that scene? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do y'all remember that scene we shot? I think we were all in. I know, James, you were, where like we go through all these weeds or something, and then we turn around because we found a path, and then we turn around and then the path is gone, and the greens people, there was like a path that we were walking down. And then when we turned like one way, the greens people, the behind the scenes people hiding, would fill the path with like plants and stuff. So that when we turned around, it looked like a path had disappeared or something. I think that got cut from the,
we did do that.
I loved that gag. I was,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
there were a lot of really cool gags like that. Like I remember we added something. I was very happy about this because I remember I brought it up. But we were outside shooting the scene where me and Callie find, sorry, spoilers, I guess, but at the end when we find the house, such a brutal night. I remember talking about how to, like, we were trying to film the house to, like, show the house and have that moment of, like, there it is. And we worked out the day before we shot it that Heather should be in the window, and you should see the moment when she looks out the window from the first movie happening simultaneously as the ending for our movie. And they played like a little bit of audio from the original as she was like up there, I think. And like, which I love that kind of stuff. Like all the things playing with anachronistic ideas and like the changes of locations and stuff. Like it really makes the witch feel more, I love that stuff because it made the whole forest feel like the witch rather than her being some entity that walks in.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and to what you were saying earlier about the witch not being the entity you see in the house, your movie especially made it seem that the Blair Witch is less, as you just said, less a singular entity and more just this entire area of land that is just wrought with all kinds of danger and mystery. And like, I love that. I love that we haven't actually seen the witch yet, but we've just seen, I guess, like an emissary of the witch, I guess.
A victim.
Like, right. Yeah. And it's a really cool way of, I guess, kind of expressing that, whether it's intentional or not. But I don't know. I love that kind of stuff. And the gag with, like, that you were just saying, Brandon, throwing the weeds, making it look like the path disappeared. Like, that's so simple, but so genius. I love that. I love that kind of stuff, dude.
And there was, I mean, what I'm very curious, I'm remembering a lot of the Easter eggs that were planted, but wasn't there, and this is what would make me curious, what I was really excited about, what Simon and Adam had planned for, if there were other versions, if there were sequels, but wasn't there like that semi truck that drove by with a logo on it, and the remember, and then that logo is a reference to one of their other films or something, and they were trying to create this whole world or something. Right. I don't know what that was, but yeah.
Oh, you know what? I've been meaning to check in on. I remember they hit a Wizard of Oz theme throughout the whole movie, or like, you know, film characters to write about. And it's really excellent when you look at it. All of our characters are modeled after the characters from Wizard of Oz. And you see yellow bricks on a path that we're walking on at one point. Yep. You see references to it in all of the houses we're in as we approach the forest. There's like No Place Like Home over a door at one point.
Lion on my backpack.
That's right. I'm dressed like the Tin Man and I'm trying to find my heart. Callie was Alice. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. I've been meaning to look into Simon and Adam's other films to see if they have done that with other movies, like other storylines, if they've hit other like fairy tales and stuff in it.
I feel like the license plate for the truck said like two lions or something.
That's right. Two lions. Yeah.
That's so cool.
I know there's a lot of really cool stuff that was hidden throughout the movie that like you'll miss if you're not looking at it. Trying to think of what else.
There's the camera end, right?
Hmm.
The camera, supposedly like one of their cameras from the end of the movie.
Oh yeah. She finds the camera at one point from there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were there any, and I guess this is a broader question of just like, I just want to hear stories from the set of filming Blair Witch, but like, were there any like notable like bloopers or like just funny things that happened on set?
I have a habit of saying bless you to people in the middle of a take when they sneeze.
Does it happen often?
Yeah. I think that happened a few times where somebody sneezed somewhere in like midline. I like unconsciously like bless you, and then like went back into the. Remember that? I kept getting ragged on that. It's between saying all the time. Adam was screaming on me on the regular.
Yeah.
I
feel like I'm sure we accidentally called each other our real names at some point. Yeah.
I have been calling you Pete instead of Peter, and Simon hated that. He hated me.
Why?
For it.
I felt like it was
Peter James.
I like Pete because it just meant because we're so familiar, you know.
Yeah, I would think that'd be more like these guys are friends.
Yeah. He didn't want nicknames, which makes sense because I don't think the audience would have grasped what the real name was if we kept like saying different versions of it. Mm. I do remember being on set the day that we shot the leg scene with Corbin, where she has the stick in her leg that she pulls out. And I remember me and Callie just came to set to visit one day, and it was soup time. So we grabbed ourselves cups of soup. It was tomato bisque, I think. Creamy tomato. Who knows? Delicious. Anyway, we're eating it. We're filming the scene. They're filming the scene. We're just watching in Video Village and stuff. And the scene begins, and they pull the stick out of her leg, and a creamy substance comes out of the prosthetic that looks identical to ours. The background of that tape, you can hear us go,
bless you. And I believe it's like dressed up as like some sort of Sasquatch or something.
That's right. Adam tried to scare the, yeah. did scare us. Well, I thought it was a bear. I thought we were about to get mauled.
Didn't Adam have that sound can or whatnot? Wasn't he trying to like scare us? Like, I just remember that sound can that made that loud sound that he would try to like scare us with or something.
Yeah, he had an air horn that he would blow, and he would also play on a Bluetooth speaker, chanting from Aleister Crowley when he was casting spells back in the early 1900s. With the other theologists, like, crazy. Like, we were listening to rituals out in the middle of isolated ancient forests. And we were hearing every night, we were hearing the one that was messing us up every day was that there was a farm within earshot. And there at the farm were goats and sheep and stuff. And on a regular basis, we would hear wolves maul one of those sheep, and we would have to wait for the sheep to go into the bardo and pass on before we could start filming again. I remember that very vividly. Him playing the speaker with like, now that I know who Aleister Crowley was, I'm like, he was summoning demons in the middle of that forest. Of course there were sheep being mauled nearby. It was so wild.
Yeah. I remember we watched hopefully this isn't too much. Before we started shooting, we watched the actual original one together again in that hotel in the meeting room. And I smoked a lot of weed before that screen. I remember watching it and thinking, oh my God, they're going to just dump us in the middle of the woods and leave us. Like, I got so paranoid.
You were so scared of it. I remember we were driving in and you were dead quiet. Like, when we were on.
I was like, what have we signed up for? I was really nervous.
We had 4 days in Squamish, and B was like, guy, that's how long they had in the first movie. They're going to leave us in Squamish.
That's right.
Or no, that's how long. Didn't have like the story of our movie took place over 4 nights.
Over 4 nights. Yeah. I was like, I had figured it out. I was like, we haven't signed anything. They could do whatever the fuck they want to us. Yeah.
Didn't we have like a PA quit during production saying like there was something going on around here? Like there was something evil happening or something. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes. Really.
Something evil happening here.
Dude, I'm telling you. Yeah. There was a weird vibe whenever, and I remember Adam, whenever he'd play one of those chants on the speakers, there would be a weird vibe in the woods. And I remember that PA would just like go, and just like start walking back to home base. I remember that.
So when they quit, was it like a big production of their quitting? Like, there's something wrong here. Like, I'll have no part of it.
I don't think I. Yeah,
that was definitely happening. I think.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, imagine like you're shooting this movie and you're like, oh, someone just quit. They said something's evil here. And you're like, okay.
yeah, I'm like, I'm contractually
up. Like, even if you don't believe in that kind of stuff, yeah, like, yeah, you'll think about it for a second. Like,
right? Yeah.
I'm a more spiritual person now than I ever was then. I'm Buddhist now. Back then, I was very, very like, hands off, very atheist. And I remember very vividly still being like, this feels weird. Something's weird. this is a little scarier than I was expecting it to feel.
Yeah.
I was going to ask about if there was any kind of aspect of, because I mean, by this point in this interview, you already mentioned like Video Village, you had PAs all over the place, but like, was there any aspect of you guys just kind of being left to your own devices? Like, you're here in the woods, take these cameras, mm-hmm. shoot a little something. Was there any of that going on at all?
I mean, yeah, shot that. Go ahead, Brandon.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Wes.
Oh, I was going to say, we shot that scene where Lane has to run off to pee for privacy. And, you know, it's not like you're far away from the crew, but you are back in the woods, and they kill the work lights, you know, so you can, like, they have these lights on or these rope lights or whatever, so you can see where you're going on the path during, you know, before you start rolling. And then they kill them and everything goes dark. And then you're like, so then at that point, you do feel kind of vulnerable. And you're like, I'm just out here in the middle of the woods, you know, and far enough away to where something could happen to me and the lights are off and here I am. So go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a bit of that, because also some of the times when it was even just us, because we're shooting in 360, supposedly the crew and even Video Village was far off or was hidden enough away to where it really created a sense of, I think, isolation. And so even when it was like, you knew people were not too far, I think they did a good job of creating an isolated set. But then every now and then we did have to go off. Like, I had to go off on my own and shoot some things. I know James did, where, yeah, you are kind of walking far enough away. And like Wes just said, he did. You're walking far enough away to where they're like, and also you have this heavy, especially when it was the POV ones, you have this heavy camera suit on, to where you're like, anything could happen at any point. And then also you have the fear, even though I don't remember Adam ever jumping out and scaring us during any of those moments, but the fear was always there. Like, not only was there like a cougar, were there wolves, were there like, you know, stuff that you could trip over, but there was also the director who might just pull some shit. Yeah. Like, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, I remember very vividly the where we were shooting most of our stuff. It was all over the Western Canadian area, you know, near Vancouver and Squamish and stuff. But we were most of the time just south of Langley, which I think is close to the border there. And it's just miles and miles and miles of nothing but trees. And you can, like, you know, you can feel it when you're out there. The oldest trees of all time, all being on them. And I remember multiple times wandering off just to take a whiz or something and just being like so haunted by how dark and scary it all was and how little you could see in front of you. And Adam would, especially during very emotional, scary scenes, like once we start running, once it turned, I remember we had a month, it was a 2-month process, and halfway through, we were shooting all of the daytime stuff. And then the last like half of shoot was all of our nighttime stuff. And once we started hitting the ground running at night, it was just night after night after night of very, very like harrowing material for our characters. So in order to get us in the mood, he would just turn all the lights off and have us sit in silence for, you know, however long he felt it worked for. So it was often like a few minutes. Sometimes he would leave us for like 20. And it was just, it was very interesting. I hadn't started meditating yet either. So I was a mess. I did not handle that well. I think I got traumatized on that, if I'm honest.
Like bear scratches on the trees or something, like animal scratches.
We did. I have a picture of us into a tree with a bunch of bear scratches on it. There was like fur inside of it.
Yeah, so you're just like, okay, there's stuff around here, obviously.
Yeah,
it could be creepy for sure.
That's just crazy. Like, I think it's funny that you are three actors who, like, amongst you and your co-stars, are some of the only people who can say that your filming was halted because sheep were being slaughtered by wolves.
Yeah.
that's wild. I love that.
Like, I'm tough. Like, B can fight. B can, you box. You kickbox and stuff, yeah?
Yeah, but I ain't going to box a wolf. Yeah.
Is he going to kickbox a wolf?
But I'm a very soft, delicate creature. I would be delicious if they came after me. So I'm just
imagine like,
my
cortisol
levels are raised the entire shoot, just waiting for something to go up my delicate thighs. Oh my god. Yeah.
Dude, Brandon, if you ever need like a movie, I mean, I write. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm an author, but I will absolutely write a script called "The Wolf Kickboxer" just for you, Brandon.
Dude,
I mean, like, let Asylum produce it. Let it be on the Sci-Fi Network.
Asylum,
right after Sharknado, dude. Oh man, that's so great. So just one last thing, like, what is the scariest part of your guys' film to you?
The tunnel.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm a big fan of that shot of not the witch in the house. When it kind of pans, the camera kind of pans to the right and it pans to the left, and you see it coming down the hallway. I think that's one of the scariest shots.
Good old Ellie Kemper.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that, I was like, oh man.
Wait, Ellie Kemper, like from The Office?
Ellie Kedward.
Are you Kedward?
Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Her name is Ellie Kedward in the lore, but it was
right. Okay, yeah, that I knew. Okay, I was like, wait, what? Was she like the mocap person?
yeah, I agree with all those shots. One of the shots I love is when the tent gets sucked up at some point, and then their reaction to that, like that, I love that moment.
Great gag. Oh man. Oh, when the tunnel definitely sticks out to me just because I'm not okay during that scene. I don't think I've kept my eyes open for the duration of that scene since I've seen it, but that one messes me up. But I remember just filming it, as far as like what was scary to film, the scene that I was mentioning earlier where we find the house, that messed me up. It was like 12 hours of being in like unbelievably cold weather with rain towers and fans blowing on us. And I remember collapsing at one point. I passed out. It was very spooky. I remember for a few moments after watching it, I'd get a little shaky again once the ending would like start up, because it was just like the muscle memory was so freaked. My subconscious was so freaked out, I guess, by how like cold and upset I was while we were filming it, that I think that it kind of freaked me out to see for a while. But that,
well, it looked fantastic.
I hope. Thank you.
It was worth it.
Yeah, like the whole movie looks good, but my favorite single shot, and it's not like the scariest shot or anything, but my favorite one is James is in the house and there's the light coming through the slats, and it's like, that's just, I love that one. I love shots
that's
like that.
Great.
Yeah.
I remember everybody,
phenomenal,
they put a weird noise. They put like a ooh noise when it happened. And so I think people are like, I've heard people say like that was aliens. Aliens out there. And that was so sad. Like, why did they put that little noise in it? But it sounded like there was like a ship like hovering just outside the attic or something. But I think we decided it was a whole day going by, right? It's watching the sun go back down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. And just for my own curiosity, there's the sequence where you guys are, it's where you find all the sticks in the woods for the No, maybe it's not the first time. I can't remember. Sorry, but it's when you break the stick and the young woman.
Oh, she's
Yeah. How was that accomplished? Because that didn't look CG. Was that like? I mean, was that a dummy? Was that? I'm just curious how that came to pass.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to like take over. If y'all want to explain,
go ahead. No, I don't remember.
We had a magnificent stunt double. I think, was it the same as Callie's typical stunt double? I think she dressed up for Val.
I think it was, yeah.
And she, her name was Allison or something? I can't remember. I'm horrible with names. But she was so flexible and super, super ripped too. It was so interesting. She had an unbelievable ability to kind of mimic somebody's stance and like movement. I remember I got a video of her and Callie when she was dressed up like Callie running, and she's following behind Callie as she runs, and you can see her adjust her body, her center of gravity, to mimic Callie's as she's running. It's really remarkable. That's
so cool.
Her physical prowess is so incredible. I was blown away by her. But she did the movement. We had a crash pad behind her, and on go she just like threw herself on it over and over and over again, and Adam made her do that way too much. we just luckily were able to just kind of shoot her waist up, and so she flings herself hard as balls down on the crash pad, and then we set up by digging a hole in the ground and flipping fake legs underneath her. And so she just kind of sat in the hole for the remaining 4 hours of the night. I remember somebody stepped on her hand at one point, and it was like super, super, super dramatic for a moment. But yeah, that was a great bit. It was a great gag. Let me just cut to
it. So it was all practical, huh? That's crazy.
Yeah, the whole thing was practical.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Thank you for answering that.
The tree falling was practical. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember how much you see of the tree falling.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was such a...
So they actually like pulled down a tree?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With ropes and that they... What'd you say?
Oh, that was you, right?
Yeah. There was a stunt double. he's the one who actually... They carved out like this one area where you can't, because it's falling so fast, you wouldn't notice that there's this one area where like the branches don't really wouldn't hurt the person, but they would drop the tree with ropes, like a controlled drop, and just this one area he always found that mark to fall. And then there was the climbing of the tree for Corbin. Oh my God, I forgot.
Oh,
yeah. Anyway. I need to see this movie again. This was a good movie, y'all.
It really was. So again, I want to thank you three for coming on here and talking to me. This was thrilling for me. You have answered so many of the questions I've had about this movie for the last 8 years. And so I really appreciate it. I did want to say, Brandon, we'll start with you. If people want to find you, where can they do so? / anything you're working on right now that you want to push, plug, promote?
Cool. Best thing is Instagram. I'm under Brandon O. Scott. And right now I got a show out now. I don't know when this is coming out. It's called Girls on the Bus on Max. And then I'm writing right now. I'm trying to write my own stuff and put out some of the stories I want to tell.
Oh, man. Awesome. I want to see some of that.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Updated.
Do you still have your...
All right,
Just that what?
You still have your band?
Oh, yeah. New music. Yeah. New EP, hopefully this summer. Finishing up some tunes. Yeah.
What kind of band are you in?
It's like a hip hop soul band. I think maybe we mentioned, did I? Because I think your friend, you tweeted about Malcolm Barrett. So Malcolm Barrett.
Yes.
He's a rapper. So I sing and he raps and we put out music with a full band. I have to send you some stuff.
Oh, please do. That's awesome. Yes, please.
I went to a show a while back. I was just like, I remember being completely floored. It was so good.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's Wes, what about you, man?
You can find me on Instagram pretty much. It's Wes.Robinson. And then I've been doing some indie films lately. I've been trying to produce a little bit because I didn't realize that was something I wanted to do until it kind of fell in my lap. To do it and digital produce a little bit. I'd like to do graphic design and stuff like that. And then I just did a film called Watchdog. That's I'm waiting for distribution for that, and then another film that's in post. And yeah,
awesome. And James, how about you?
I am at, I'm kind of everywhere at Jalen Mick, which is JalenMC. I got two things. I work a lot with a podcast called Let's Get Haunted, and I edit for them a bit. I love them so much. I just really want more people to pay attention to them. It's two of my favorite people in the entire world doing covering topics that are weird and strange. And Haunted covers a wide gambit of things, but I love them so much. I'm very proud of that show and what they do with it. So I want to push that for sure. So it's Let's Get Haunted everywhere that matters. And then I have just a request for everybody to go please and see musical theater in your at your local regional theater. I've been working in musical theater here in Atlanta since like 2021 or 2022. I gotten back into it, and I'm having so much fun singing and dancing again. But I'm also kind of witnessing the death of regional theater in America. When the pandemic hit, it really hit local theaters very hard. So please go out, subscribe to a season at your local regional theater. Go check out and support those actors, especially if you're in Atlanta. I've been so impressed with the talent over here. It's incredible. But we saw three stages close last year here in Atlanta. So it's Ooh. It's a little scary, but I just wanted to like raise up the theater community a bit. It's kind of a sad thing to see such an important institution kind of struggle to thrive right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys very much again. I really appreciate it, and I would like to have each of you on separately again. Brandon, again, you've already been on, so
yeah, enough of me.
Kidding. I'd love to. You're welcome anytime, dude. But yeah, Wes, James, if you would ever have any interest, I'd love to talk to each of you individually too, but we can talk about that later. Thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you for an amazing movie.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It was a real delight, man. I appreciate you getting us back together. I've missed y'all.
For sure.
Miss you guys.
Take care.